ಪಿಂಡಯಾಂ ರಾಜ ಭಟ ಯಥಾ ಯಾತನಾ ದೇಹ ಆವೃತ್ಯ ಪಾಶೇರ್ಬದ್ವಾ ಗಲೆ ಬಲಾತ್ ನಾಯತೋ ದೀರ್ಘಮಧ್ವಾನಂ ದಂಡಯಾಂ ರಾಜ ಭಟ ಯಥಾ ಯಾತನಾ ಫಾರ್ ಪನಿಶ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ದೇಹೆ ಹಿಸ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಆವೃತ್ಯ ಕವರಿಂಗ್ ಪಾಶೈಹಿ ವಿತ್ ರೋಪ್ಸ್ ಬದ್ವಾ ಬೈಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಗಲೆ ಬೈ ದ ನೆಕ್ ಬಲಾತ್ ಬೈ ಫೋರ್ಸ್ ನಾಯತಃ ದೇ ಲೀಡ್ ದೀರ್ಘಂ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಅಧ್ವಾನಂ ಡಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ದಂಡಯಾ ಅ ಕ್ರಿಮಿನಲ್ ರಾಜಭಟಃ ದ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಸೋಲ್ಜರ್ಸ್ ಯಥಾ ಆಸ್ ಸೊ ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ನೌ ಆಸ್ ಅ ಕ್ರಿಮಿನಲ್ ಇಸ್ ಅರೆಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಪನಿಶ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಬೈ ದ ಕಾನ್ಸ್ಟೇಬಲ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ ಇನ್ ಕ್ರಿಮಿನಲ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಗ್ರಾಟಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ is similarly arrested by the Yamadutas, who bind him by the neck with strong rope and cover his subtle body so that he may undergo severe punishment. Translation with repetition. As a criminal is arrested for punishment by the constables of the state, a person engaged in criminal sense gratification is similarly arrested by the Yamadutas, who bind him by the neck with strong rope and cover his subtle body so that he may undergo severe punishment. So once again I will read, let's try to understand what it's said here. As a criminal is arrested for punishment by the constables of the state, a person engaged in criminal sense gratification is similarly arrested by the Yamadutas, who bind him by the neck with strong rope and cover his subtle body so that he may undergo severe punishment. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Every living entity is covered by a subtle and gross body. The subtle body is the covering of mind, ego, intelligence and consciousness. It is said in the scriptures that the constables of Yamaraj cover the subtle body of the culprit and take him to the abode of Yamaraj to be punished in a way that he is able to tolerate. He does not die from this punishment, because if he died, then who would suffer the punishment? It is not the business of the constables of Yamaraj to put one to death. In fact, it is not possible to kill a living entity, because factually he is eternal. He simply has to suffer the consequences of his activities of sense gratification. The process of punishment is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Formerly, the king's men would take a criminal in a boat in the middle of the river. They would dunk him by grasping a bunch of his hair and thrusting him completely under water. And when he was almost suffocated, the king's constables would take him out of water and allow him to breathe for some time. And then they would again dunk him in the water to suffocate. This sort of punishment is inflicted upon the forgotten soul by Yamaraj, as will be described in the following verses. ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಸಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯ ಶಬದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವೆಯ ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ ತದಾರಜಸ್ತಮೋಭಾವ ಕಾಮಲೋಭಾದಯಶ್ಚೇ ಚೇತಾಯೇತರನಾವಿದಂ ಸ್ಥಿತಂಸತ್ವೇ ಪ್ರಸೀದ್ಯತಿ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ವಾ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಾ ಮುದೀರಯೇತ್. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತರುಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this chapter is entitled Description of Adverse Fruitive Activities. So, in the 29th chapter of the third canto, which is entitled Explanation of Devotional Service, in that chapter there's since the time Lord Kapila and the teachings of Lord Kapila began, there's a question and answering going on between Devahuti and Lord Kapila. Devahuti, Mother Devahuti, is asking the question and Lord Kapila is answering. So she has been asking very, very valid questions. She's also telling to Lord Kapila that please describe to me and also to the people in general about the question that she asked in the third verse of the 29th chapter is, Devahuti said, my dear Lord, please also describe in detail both for me and also for the people in general the continual process of birth and death, for by hearing of such calamities he may become detached from the activities of this material world. So what is this question she is asking? Very, very important question to all of us. What is she asking? Let's again understand what she's asking here. My dear Lord, please describe in detail. She's telling, please describe in detail, both for me and also for the people in general. What is she asking? Please explain to me and also to the people in general the continual process of repeated birth and death. By hearing such calamities, a living entity will become detached from this material world. Very important question. Similar question also Parikshit Maharaj asked in the last chapter, the first canto, 19th chapter. We'll come to that. And then in the next verse, so Devahuti is asking these questions. And in the next verse of the 29th chapter, she's asking another very important question. What is that next important question she's asking? Please also describe eternal time. What is this kala? Bhagavad Gita explains the five basic truths, the five topics. What are those five topics? Krishna. The first one is Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. So that is the question she's asking, the kala. Please also describe eternal time, which is the representation of your form and by whose influence people in general engage in the pious activities. So these are very important questions which are very, very relevant for us to understand. So then Lord Kapila very systematically beginning to explain, answering these two questions. In this particular chapter, which is entitled Description of the Adverse Fruitive Activities, in this chapter Lord Kapila is answering the question of Mother Devahuti. She asks, please explain to us the continual process of repeated birth and death. So in this particular chapter he is answering about the death, and in the 31st chapter Lord Kapila is going to answer his question about the birth. What are the intricacies of birth and what are the intricacies of death? Very nicely explained here. And Lord Kapila is systematically beginning to answer from the beginning of this chapter, what is this time factor, kala, the eternal time, how we are being carried. He says in the very first verse, as a mass of clouds does not know the influence of the powerful wind. What is she saying? What is Lord Kapila saying? As mass of clouds does not know the powerful, he is using this metaphor for us to understand this. As a mass of clouds does not know the powerful influence of the wind, a person engaged in the material consciousness does not know the powerful strength of the time factor by which he is being carried. So everything a materialist with hard labor, whatever he produces, thinking that it's going to be eternal, but in the form of time, Krishna comes. Kalosmi loke kshayakrit pravruddho. Time, I am the destroyer of all the worlds. He comes and destroys everything. So for this, a conditioned soul laments, because with hard labor he has created so many things, but in the form of time factor, Krishna comes and takes away everything. He also says, Mrutya sarva harascham. In the form of death, I come and take away everything. So this is the powerful influence of the time. So we have to, so here he is beginning to tell then also how the conditioned soul, so now first let us understand, he's talking about the, mainly about the death in this chapter. So in the Garuda Purana, death is explained very nicely. Death means extreme painful condition, extreme painful condition. And dying man experiences a pain that is equivalent to 40,000 scorpions biting simultaneously, not one after the other. Together, all 40,000 scorpions, even biting one scorpion, finish. Just guess what that painful condition is. 40,000 scorpions biting simultaneously. That is the condition of, that is the condition of a living entity at the time of his death. Here also Lord Kapila explains about the ghastly nature of the experience of death in this particular chapter. What a living entity undergoes. In the, what happens when at the time of death, what happens to that person? In the deceased condition, the dying person's eyes bulge due to the excessive pressure of air within his body. And then what happens? His glands become congested with mucus. And also he cannot breathe properly. He's got great difficulty in breathing. And also there is a rattling sound coming. Grr, like that. So the person who is dying, he's going to, he's experiencing all these things. And thus he dies most pathetically. Very, very not good. So, all these things very nicely explained in the Garuda Purana, how a person undergoes this death. And also he wants to tell something, he's trying to convey, and all the relatives are completely surrounding him, he's on the deathbed, all the relatives, friends, they are all surrounding him. He's trying to convey something, but he's unable to, because he's under the control of the time factor. He's not able to tell. So his throat is choked up and is covered by, congested by all the mucus, everything. He's unable to say something, and due to the time factor, he's being, his will go through this death. So then he's also, it is also said that a living entity is so habituated in living in this material body, he's so habituated, he gets so attached to this material body, he doesn't want to leave this body, but somehow he must be forced out of loss of material nature at the time of death, that he has to leave this body and then go. That is very, very painful for him, because he's so attached to this body. So the living entity, in whatever species of life he appears, finds a particular type of satisfaction in that particular species of life. So in whichever body he acquires, he finds a particular type of satisfaction. And regardless it's an animal body or a beast or a bird or an aquatic or an elephant, whatever body he acquires, he finds a particular satisfaction in that particular body, and he is not averse to that situation. So we heard in the previous purports about the example of King Indra, who was the king of the heaven. He was ruling, he was the king of the heaven, very high post. But being cursed by Brihaspati, he became a hog. And in that hog's body, he tried to enjoy so much with his hog wife, hog children, and going into the clay, the mud, and enjoying very nicely. He's completely forgotten by this Avaranatmika Shakti that he was once upon a king and he got this degraded, this abominable body. He's completely forgotten that, covered by this Avaranatmika Shakti and Prakshepatmika Shakti is being covered. So after the term of his span of pig is over, he was called, come on now, Brahma called, come on, come back to your post, you are king, come and take your position. He said, no, please don't disturb me, I am very, very happy. So like that, in whatever body a living entity comes, in whatever species of life he appears, he finds a particular type of satisfaction in that particular species and he is never averse to that situation. The conditioned living entity is satisfied in his own particular species of life while deluded by the covering influence of the illusory energy. So in this similar connection, I will tell the example of King Kulashekara. In the Mukundamala Stotra, he prayed one very, very, very beautiful verse. Of course, all the verses are very, very beautiful. But one of the verses, which is also the very most favorite of Srila Prabhupada, he very often quoted this verse. And he used to sing in a tune also. Many a times, that's what I read in the book. It said that, Krishna Tvadiya Padapanka Japanjarantam Adyaiva me vishatu manasa rajahamsaha prana prayana samayeka pavata pittai kanthavarodana vidhau smaranam kutaste. Here he is saying, he is praying to the Lord. This verse is also repeated in the 8th chapter, 2nd verse, where Arjuna asked very important questions in the 8th chapter. One of the questions is asked about the karma and about also the death. So Prabhupada is writing the purport of the 8th chapter, 2nd purport. So he is saying that there is King Kulashekara is praying to the Supreme Lord, please give me death now. Because my body, I am very healthy, I am hale and healthy. And my sense, my mind is in a perfect condition. And my bodily function is perfect. Everything is perfect. If I die now, I can concentrate my mind at the stem of your lotus feet. And if I have to wait for my natural death, which will be like 80 or 90 years, I don't know what my bodily condition will be. My throat will be covered by the mucus. And I cannot even chant your holy name properly. If I have to die in that time, I definitely cannot remember you, O Supreme Lord. Because my bodily functions will be completely disrupted. In that condition, I'll be worrying about my bodily condition. Where can I think of you? So now that my mind condition is very, very hale and healthy. And why my mind is hale and healthy? Because my body is hale and healthy. I am young, very good condition, that is why my mind is very healthy. Please give me death now so that my mind can be absorbed at the stem of your lotus feet. Completely I can absorb and think of you and I can chant your holy name because my throat is very clear. There is no mucus, there is no... So please give me death. So that was a wonderful prayer by King Kulashekara in Mukundamala Stotra. So very, very beautiful. And also in this chapter, we have read how a living entity who is very much attached to his family members and he works so hard to maintain his family. In this regard, in the 19th chapter, the first verse, King Parikshit asked two very, very important questions. Can somebody tell what those two important questions were? Very good. So Parikshit Maharaj asked these two very important questions to Sukadev Goswami. Actually, he first asked the sages who had assembled there, and again after that Sukadev Goswami arrived. He also again asked these two questions to Sukadev Goswami. What are those two questions? Like Prabhu said, what is the duty of everyone at all times? That is the first question. And the second question is, what is the duty of a person who is going to die, who is about to die soon? So these two very important questions of Parikshit Maharaj, the answer to these questions is the all the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the answer to these two questions are entire Srimad Bhagavatam. So the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami begins in this way. Very powerful beginning actually. How does he begin? Variya neshate prashna kuto loka hritam ripa atmavit sammatah pumsam srotavya dishuyaparaha. My dear king, your question is glorious. Even before answering the question, Sukadev Goswami is glorifying the question itself. And not only here, even in the same first canto, second chapter, fifth verse, Sukadev Goswami is also telling, Munayaha sadhu prishtoham bhavabdir lokamangalam yatkrita krishna samprashno enatma suprasidati. So it is said that the question itself is very glorious because it is about the topic of Krishna. Yat krita krishna samprashno. The question is about Krishna, Krishna katha. That is why it is very, very glorious. And it is loka mangalam. It is all auspicious for the entire universe. This question is very, very auspicious. So this question is, so here Sukadev Goswami is telling, my dear king, your question is glorious. Why the question itself is glorious? Because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter. Like I told you, all the other cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam is the answer to these two most important questions. Beneficial to all kinds of people. Why? Because everybody is going to die. It's common to all, no one wants it, no one can avoid it. So it's beneficial to all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. For hearing, prime subject matter for hearing. And it is approved by all transcendentalists. Then he is saying, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Drinam Sashanti Sahasrasaha Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Graheshu Grahamedhinam. Those persons. So now, slowly Sukadev Goswami is turning this question to another direction. He is telling that the main subject matter is for hearing about the death. But on the contrary, what people are doing, people, those who are not interested to hearing about Krishna Katha, what are they interested to hear? That is what he is now telling. Shrotavyadini Rajendran Rinam Shanti Sahasrasaha Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Grihamedhinam. Those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subject matters for hearing, O Emperor. So people who are materially engrossed, they have many subject matters to hear. Who are completely blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subject matters for hearing. Even in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, fifth chapter, there are very, very important two verses, which is 10th and 11th verse, Nayadvachas Chitrapadam Hare Resho. That one and the next one is Tadvag Visargo Janataga Viplavo Yasmin Pratislokam Abaddavatyapi Namani Anantasya Yashavan Kitani Yat Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadhava. There it is compared to two types of people. What is that? People who are interested to hear about Krishna Katha, they are compared to swans in the clear waters lakes. And the other hand, like Prabhu said, the place where is filthy, dirt, there in that place, who will be attracted? The crows. So similarly here, this comparison, here Sukadeva Goswami is telling, the places like, you know, actually the hearing about the subject matter is very, very important for hearing of these two questions. But on the other hand, people who are materially engrossed, being blind to the subject matter of the ultimate truth, they have many subject matters for hearing this, hearing in human society, O emperor. Then he is saying, what is the activities of the people, of this materialistic people who are in, completely immersed in material consciousness? Nidraya hriyate naktam yavayena chavavayaha divacharte haya rajan kutamba bharanenava. The lifetime of such envious householders is passed at night either in sleeping or in sex indulgence. And in the daytime, they are engaged in earning money or maintaining the family members. This is how a materialistic person, he engages himself. How the lifetime of such an envious householders is passed at night, either in sleeping or in sex indulgence. And in the daytime, either in earning money or in maintaining the family members. Deha patya kalatra desh atmasainye shasatswapi tesham pramatto nidhanam pashyan api na pashyati. Persons devoid of atma tattva do not inquire into the problems of life. Being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children and wife, although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. Krishna also tells in the Bhagavad Gita what the death is about. Here they are telling persons devoid of atma tattva do not inquire into the problems of life. What is the problems of life? Birth, death, old age and disease. They are seeing their great grandfathers dying. They are seeing their grandfather dying. They are seeing their fathers dying. But still they are not learned anything. They are still so much materially engrossed. So Krishna also tells in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 8th to 12th verse, the process of acquiring knowledge. What is that? Amanitvam madambitvam mahimsa kshantirarjavam acharyopashanam shaucham sthairyamatma vinigraha indriyartheshu vairagyam anahankara evacha janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanudarshanam. So people, they don't know the evil of perception of repeated birth and death. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanudarshanam. They have no perception of this evil of birth, death, old age and disease. So that is also process of knowledge to understand. So what is this intricacies of birth, death, old age and disease? Birth is not a very nice situation. Like if somebody puts me in a gunny bag and pushes me very tight and ties the rope, how will I feel in that constricted area? Very hard. Cannot move. I cannot breathe. So hard. That is the situation of the baby in the womb of the mother. There's so much difficulty and there is so much constricted space. That is why, have you seen any babies being straight in the womb of the mother? It is arched like a bow. There's no space. So much less space. And there's so many mother is eating very pungent food, priya pickles, very hot food, you know, masala, garam masala, chaat, pani puri, bhel puri, very nice, yum yum. But the baby in the womb is suffering very, very tremendous pain. And what is happening for the baby? So much, because whatever the mother is eating, the baby is getting that same food. And it's suffering so hellish. And guess what? There's so many other, liquids in that there. Then there's so many little bacteria and worms infested. And these bacteria are biting the tender body of this baby. and undergoing very, very painful situation. And in that state, if that living entity is little pious, he'll pray to the Lord and says, "Oh my Lord, why have you put me in this most abominable condition? Please, I don't ever want to enter into this womb of the mother ever again." So prays so intensely. Once it comes out, complete. Have you seen any baby laughing when it comes out?
Crying.
Why? Just come to the miserable place. And if the baby doesn't cry for some reason, guess what? The doctor gives a whack and make the baby cry. So why? This place is a place of misery. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Krishna says, very miserable place. Yeah, I cannot. So like that, this is very, very intricate. So the baby in the womb of the mother has prayed very intensely. Once he comes out of the womb of the mother, forgets everything. Again, attachment to the body. Aham mameti, my body, my... So like that, very nicely, graphically, Lord Kapila explains in this chapters. And then this man who is really working hard to earn money, and by doing so many illegal activities, he is trying to earn money, but at some point of time he is unable to earn money anymore, and he is facing the reverses. And guess what? Once he stops earning money, the family members do not look upon him with the same respect as before. And he loses all beauty. And he is feeling very, very bad that he is unable to maintain his family members. And being in the family household, he is maintained by those whom he once maintained. And then they are giving him food, and like they don't give same treatment to him as before. And they give one metaphor there to make us understand. What is that? Just as a miserly farmer doesn't accord the same treatment to the old and worn out oxen, similarly, a man who stops earning and maintaining his family by his earning, he is being bereft of all beauty, and the family does not give the same treatment as before, and he is being looked very down upon. Then in that very, very miserable condition, he feels so not good that, you know, he's like a pet dog in the house and eating the remnants, whatever is given to him. So in that horrible condition, and he's very soon, his death will come. And like I told you, he's been congested with so much mucus in his throat, and is unable to breathe properly, rattling sound, and all the relatives surrounding him, they are all seeing him. And the family life is full of diplomacy and politics. Prabhupada writes in the purport that in the family, unless a person is not a diplomatic and politic, then he cannot be a successful householder. So like that, this person, he's going to meet death. So what? Coming back to today's verse, what it is said here is, the previous verse says, at death he sees the messengers of the Lord of death come before him, their eyes full of wrath. Wrath means anger. And in great fear he passes stool and urine. Then he says today's verse, as a criminal is arrested for punishment by the constables of the state, a person engaged in criminal sense gratification is similarly arrested by the Yamadutas, who bind him by the neck with strong rope and cover his subtle body so that he may undergo severe punishment. So, why has he been put in this situation? Because of, like, very nice here to make us understand how a criminal is arrested for his punishment by the constables of the state, a person engaged in criminal sense gratification. So actually we are meant to gratify Krishna's senses. Atmendriya priti iccha tare bali kama, Krishnendriya priti iccha dare prema nama. We are meant to satisfy Krishna's senses, not gratify our senses. So if we gratify our senses, it is called kama. If we gratify Krishna's senses, it is called prema. So what is happening? So now we'll understand, we were in the spiritual world serving Krishna. While serving Krishna there, we developed a sort of envious mentality, saying that, oh, why should I serve him? Why should he enjoy everything? Why can't I be served by someone? Why can't I be enjoyer? So when we develop this mentality, in the spiritual world, there is only one Supreme Lord and everybody is servants. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Vrutya. In the spiritual world, there is only Ekale Ishvara Krishna, only the supreme controller and master of everyone. Arasabha Vrutya, everybody's servants in the spiritual world. But while we were in the spiritual world, we developed this envious mentality. And as soon as we develop this sort of mentality, man proposes, God disposes. The Lord says, with this mentality, unfortunately, you cannot live here. So I will create a realm where you can fulfill your desires to your complete satisfaction. So Krishna creates this material world. Along with that comes, have you seen any coin coming with one side? It comes with two sides, right? A head side and tail side. The head part is, we can enjoy this material world how much ever we want, to the fullest. And the tails, the other side is, a coin comes with two sides. Like if I have to go to New Zealand, I take a ticket, a package tour, package deal. It says that to go to New Zealand, it's like $700-$800. You get it for $300 special fare. And underneath there's a fine print, condition supply. So like that, Krishna, when we come to this material world, it comes with also a very package deal. You can enjoy in the material world to a full extent. But again, fine print. This material world is birth, death, old age and disease. And also adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidaivika. So once we come to this material world, the eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust. The prema in the spiritual world is converted into lust. So when we come to this material world, we want to enjoy our own senses. So in the beginning of third chapter, Krishna very nicely, so Arjuna gave five reasons why he doesn't want to fight. The third reason that Arjuna gave, of course, the first reason is, what is the first reason, Krishna? Compassion, right? The second reason he gave was enjoyment. Third reason he gives is fear of sinful reactions. Fourth reason he gives is destruction of dynasty. Fifth reason he gives is indecision. Of course, the third reason that Arjuna gives is sinful reactions. Krishna, I don't want to fight. If I kill all these people on the battlefield, guess what? I have to suffer in the hell for millions of lives. I don't want to do this most sinful activity, Krishna. So he declined to fight. So to tell Arjuna that the nature, he wants to go to forest and renounce everything and go to forest. And he's thinking that if I go to forest and if I don't do anything, then I will not get any reaction. If I do any activity, I will get, like it is said that every action has got a reaction. So if I do an activity, then I will get reaction. So if I don't do anything, so there is no reaction. But Krishna is telling, no. Nakarmanam anarambhan naishkarmyam purushosnute nacha sanyasana deva siddhim samadigachati not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction, nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. Don't think that if you don't do, nor by just by merely abstaining from action, don't think that you will become free from reaction. Why? Because nakarma, then the next verse, nahi kaschichanam api jato tishtatya karma krit karyate heva karma sarva prakriti jair gunai. Even one cannot, everybody, the nature of the soul is to be active. It cannot be active at any point of time. Even when we are sleeping, we are dreaming. The nature of the soul is to be active. So you have to act. Because even if you don't act, you will still get reaction. Why? Because still you are breathing, still you have to eat. Everything you have to do, activity, nature of the soul is to be active. So you can never be inactive at any time. So because the nature of the soul is to be active, if you don't serve Krishna, then you will be serving Maya. So there are only two options. There are no 100 options. Either you have to serve Krishna or you have to serve Maya. Then he is saying that if you prematurely renounce, thinking that if I go to forest then I won't get reaction, guess what Arjuna? Actually you are very qualified to go, renounce and go. But people, they don't think whether they are qualified, whether they have that adhikar, prerequisite adhikar. Because externally they dress like sannyas, but internally they are meditating on sense objects. Such a person is called mithyachara savichate, a pretender only. So don't be a pretender. Because people generally, whatever yadyadacharati shrestas tattadevetarojanaha sayat pramanam kurute lokastad danuvartate, whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. Whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Oh Arjuna, if you go to forest, everybody will follow your example, thinking that that is the ideal thing to do, without thinking their prerequisite qualification. So a person cannot take renunciation unless he is completely pure in his heart. Otherwise, it's only a disturbance in the society. Because everybody will think that you are a complete renunciant, and they will start to respect you, but internally he is meditating on sense objects. So then you are called a pretender only. So Krishna is telling, so the entire third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining how the soul can be active at the same time become free from reaction. That is karma yoga. Karma can become karma yoga, free from reaction. Because the nature of the soul is to be active, he has to act. He cannot be inactive at any point in time. So being active, what is Arjuna's worry? If I work, if I fight, I'll get reaction. So I will not fight. But Krishna is telling, no, even otherwise, whether you fight or not, even if you don't, because the nature of the soul is to be active, if you don't fight, still you will get reaction. Actually, if you don't fight, you will get reaction. If you fight, you will not get reaction. Why? Because you are fighting on the authority. I am telling you, because Arjuna is thinking he is the doer. That is the whole problem. He is thinking he is the doer. Prakrite kriya mana ni gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudhatma mityachara ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. So the spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself he is the doer of activities. But in actuality, the three modes are doing everything. So Arjuna is now thinking he is doer. Krishna is telling, no. If you don't do your duty, then you will be facing reaction. But because you are acting out of your own accord, then you have to be responsible for your reactions. But you have to act under the authority, then there is no reaction. Then Arjuna is asking very, very important question in the third chapter, 36th verse, which is in connection to this. What is this Arjuna's very, very important question in the 36th verse of the third chapter? Arjuna uvacha athakena prayukto yam papam charati purushaha ಅನಿಚ್ಛಮ್ಮಪಿ ವಾರ್ಷ್ಣೇಯ ಬಲಾದಿವ ನಿಯೋಜಿತ. ಅರ್ಜುನ ಸೆಡ್, ಓ ಡಿಸೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ರಿಷ್ಣಿ, ಬೈ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಒನ್ ಇಂಪೆಲ್ಡ್ ಟು ಸಿನ್ಫುಲ್ ಆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್, ಈವನ್ ಅನ್ವಿಲಿಂಗ್ಲಿ, ಆಸ್ ಇಫ್ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಫೋರ್ಸ್. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅರ್ಜುನಸ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್? ಬೈ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಒನ್ ಇಂಪೆಲ್ಡ್ ಟು ಸಿನ್ಫುಲ್ ಆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್? He knows that doing this activity is a sinful activity. And still he does that activity, even unwillingly. He doesn't want to do. He knows that. He has got that knowledge that doing this activity is sin. But still he does. What is that force that pushes him to do this sinful activity even against his own desire? So direct question and direct answer. ಶ್ರೀ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಉವಾಚ, ಕಾಮಯೇಷ ಕ್ರೋಧಯೇಷ ರಜೋಗುಣ ಸಮುದ್ಭವ ಮಹಾಶನೋ ಮಹಾಪಾಪ್ಮ ವಿಧಿಯೇನ ಮಿಹ ವೈರಿಣಾಂ. ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಸೆಡ್, ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಲಸ್ಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಅರ್ಜುನ, ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಬೋರ್ನ್ ಆಫ್ ಕಾಂಟ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಮೋಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ಯಾಷನ್. ಸೊ ಲಸ್ಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಡಕ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಮೋಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ಯಾಷನ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಇಫ್ ದಟ್ ಲಸ್ಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಫುಲ್ಫಿಲ್ಡ್, it becomes anger. And anger is which mode of nature? Ignorance. It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, which is the all devouring sinful enemy of this world. Lust is the all devouring sinful enemy of this world. So very nicely Krishna is progressing in that chapter. What is this lust? What is the degrees of lust covering this living entity? And he gives the three analogies: as the fire is covered by smoke, as the mirror is covered by dust, as the embryo is covered by the womb, similarly the living entities is covered by different degrees of this lust. And what are the sitting places of this lust? Senses, mind and intelligence are the covering places of this lust. So if you want to control the lust, which one should you first control? The senses. Why? Because it goes gross to subtle. So in the beginning we have to first control the senses, regulate the senses, so that it will not further. Then Krishna is giving this analogies, these three analogies. Though the smoke, the first one is the fire covered by the smoke, is who is that compared to? The living entity, correct. And then the next one, the mirror covered by the dust, is compared to? Beasts and birds. And then the embryo covered by the womb? The trees, because they are in helpless condition. The example of Nalakuvera and Manigriva in the Krishna story, that how Nalakuvera and Manigriva, they were bathing in Mandakini river along with other girls, and while they were enjoying like female elephants, no, the example is given like female elephants, they were enjoying. At that time Narad Muni passed by and he saw, and these two sons of Kuvera, they were so intoxicated that they didn't even actually observe the sadhu coming there. They saw Narad Muni, but they didn't. Whereas these girls, they immediately covered themselves and they went away. But they continued to enjoy with splashing water and, you know, with all the... So Narad Muni said that sadhus are very, very merciful to bring them to their senses. They cursed them to become Yamala Arjuna trees. Where were they cursed to be? In the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So finally the sadhus are very, very merciful, because at the very end, of course, Damodara pastime, we know how the Lord came and delivered these two sons of Kuvera. So like that, so there too much exhibition of this lust, you know, we are made to stand in the open air, the trees, they cannot be covered. Like this, too much exhibition of this lust, so we get this bodies of the trees. So Krishna very nicely tells about this, what is this lust. So here today's was, as a criminal is arrested for punishment by the constables of state, a person engaged in criminal sense gratification is similarly arrested by the Yamadutas, who bind him by the neck. So here they are telling that how a person at the time of death, he understands by this punishment. Of course, in the purport it is said that they don't kill him because the duty of the Yamadutas is not to kill the person, because they give punishment so that he will not die, because if he dies, who will suffer the punishment? So like that, they give the example of that man dunking in water and then just for a moment breathing again back. So like that, how this person, he goes this. So this sense gratification, how one has to use the senses in the service of the master of the senses. How Ambarish Maharaj used all his senses in the service of the master of the senses. So in that way, he became Matpara devotee. In the 61st verse of the second chapter, Tani Sarvani Samyamya Yukta Asita Matparaha Vashehi Yasyendriyani Tasya Pragna Pratishtita. So Ambarish Maharaj used all his Savaimana Krishna Padaravindayor Vachamshi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane Karo Harer Mandira Marjanadishu Kara Chakarachita Satkatoda. He used all his senses in the service of the master of the senses. In that is why one has to become Goswami, not Godas. So use our senses in the service of the master of the senses. So Ambarish Maharaj is a perfect example. Of course, in the Navavida Bhakti, Prahalad Maharaj says, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam. So for every one of the limb, there is one particular devotee example. So for all these 9 rows of devotional service, who is the example for Shravanam? Parikshit Maharaj. And who is the example for Kirtanam? Sukadev Goswami. Very good. For Vishnu Smaranam? Prahalad Maharaj. And then Padasevanam? Archanam? Prithu Maharaj. Very good. Archanam Vandanam? Akrura. Vandanam Dasyam? Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. So all these 9 rows of devotional service, one devotee perfected. Who is that? Ambarish Maharaj. He used all his senses in the service of the master of the senses. So that is how the senses should be used, not for any other. So how, if we use our senses for sense gratification, this will be our condition. As a criminal is arrested for punishment by the constables of the state, a person engaged in criminal sense gratification, similarly arrested by the Yamadutas. So we have to use our senses. So sadhana bhakti, in the beginning, sadhana bhakti is very, very powerful. We wake up early in the morning and take clean bath and then come to the temple. And then the Rupa Goswami explains 64 items of bhakti, of devotional service in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Out of that, 59 items will be covered in the morning program, which we come in the morning, take bath and enter the temple and offer obeisances and attend Mangalarti and all the chaking charanamat, smelling flowers, incense and the swab, the scented swab, everything that we do, all they cover so many items of bhakti. And in that, the 5 are most important. Panchanga bhakti sreshtha. What are the 5? Panchanga bhakti. All the 64 items has been put in encapsulated in this 5 most important sreshtha, panchanga bhakti, very sreshtha. What is that 5 panchanga bhakti? Sadhu sangha is the very first one. Nama sankirtana, then Bhagavat Sravana, then Srimurtira Shraddhaya Sevana, and then Mathuravas. These 5 things are very, very potent forms of devotional service. Is there even one of them? If you do also, it's very, very powerful. And if you do all of them, is very, very, very powerful. Like Mathura was, we all can't go and live in Vrindavan, right? But this Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, Srila Prabhupada installed the deities. This is holy dham. This is an embassy of the spiritual world. Like if I go to Canberra, if I have to go to India in Melbourne, then I go to Indian High Commission. Like there, you know, there I see Indian flags, all this, like that. This Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir is also a holy dham. Only our consciousness need to have that Mathura Vas, Vrindavan consciousness. Then, you know, this place is also holy dham. So living in, so this Panchanga Bhakti very, very Sreshta. Rupa Goswami says, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that even one of them, even hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Nama Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, very, very important. Sadhu Sangha is the birthplace of bhakti. Very important. Without Sadhu Sangha, everything will be... So first we come in association of devotees, then we get great enthusiasm hearing from great souls like Lord Kapila also. Devahuti asked this very important question in the very beginning, in the 25th chapter of the same canto. She asked, the very first question that Devahuti asked Lord Kapila is, please, I'm sick of this disturbance caused by these material senses. Because of the sense disturbance, I fall into the abyss of ignorance. Please enlighten me with this transcendental knowledge. Who is asking to who? Mother Devahuti is asking to Lord Kapila. I am being sick of this material disturbance caused by this material senses. Because of the sense disturbance, I have fallen into the abyss of ignorance. Please enlighten me with this transcendental knowledge. She says that you are like the sun, Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Haya Andhakar, Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi, Maya Radhikar. Wherever there is Krishna, the Maya and Krishna cannot coexist. Because even when Krishna was on this earth, till Krishna was there, the Maya, the Kali Yuga could not enter. The moment Krishna went to his own abode, Krishne Swadhamopagate, Dharma Jnana Divisaha, Kalavanashta Drishamesha, Puranarko Dunavidaha. The moment Krishna left, Krishne Swadhamopagate, along with what did he take? Dharma and Jnana. Immediately came, the moment Krishna left, Kali Yuga completely took over. Then dense darkness. How can we get light? Like if I go in at 12 o'clock in the night, guess there is no electricity at all, no electric lights at all. Pitch dark. Can I see anything? And I'm very, very proud that I have my eyes. I'm very proud. I have eyes. We show off, like, you know, in front of blind people, we show, oh, you are blind. I have my eyes. But do we really have our eyes? So, pitch darkness, I can't see anything. So, even in Kali Yuga, we are having eyes, but we are not seeing. So, it might be very contradictory. I am telling that we are seeing and we are not seeing. What is this? We are seeing, but we are not seeing. What is that? We are not seeing. Here the second canto is saying, Srotavyadini Rajendra, Drinam Shanti Sahasrasa, Apashyatam Atma Tatvam, Griheshu. Those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the ultimate truth. So we are not seeing the truth. That means we are blind. So immediately Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam came into the horizon. Soon after, the moment the Krishna left, the Kali Yuga came over. And then Srimad Bhagavatam has arisen into the horizon to dissipate the dense darkness of the age of Kali. So we have to get light from this Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this Panchanga Bhakti, the first one is Sadhu Sangha, then Nama Sankirtan, Kaler Dosha Nidhe Rajan, Asti Hayeko Mahan Guna, Kirtana Deva Krishnasya, Mukta Sangha Paramrajet. So chanting the holy name of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent, is to inaugurate the Namasankirtan movement, and then comes Bhagavat Sravana. We have to take light. This Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are the torch lights. Like in the dark, in the pitch darkness, if I have to go somewhere, I cannot see. What do I take? I take a torch light to find my way, right? So this Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are the torch bearers in the age of Kali. To get our light, to get our way through, to go back home, back to Godhead, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and also chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Krite adhyayato vishnum tretayam yajato makhai dvapare paricharyayam kaloto dhari kirtanat. This, the chanting of the holy names is emphasized in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the middle, which canto will come in the middle? Sixth canto, first three chapters is about what? Very, very important pastimes. Ajamila. There also, the second chapter is completely glorifying the holy name. What is this holy name? Krishna. Ajamila pastimes. So very nicely, Yamaraj is telling to Yamadutas, and also what is this powerful influence of this? So the holy name is emphasized throughout Bhagavatam in the beginning, in the middle, at the very end. In the very end, in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami is very nicely telling, because Parikshit asked in this age of Kali, what is the means of deliverance for the people in general? Then Parikshit, Sukadev Goswami is telling, Kaler Doshani Dera Jan Astihai Eka Mahan Guna Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangaparam Raje. So, there in Kali, Kaler Dosha is ocean of faults. Kali is ocean of faults. But among all those faults, there is one Mahan Guna. What is that? Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangaparam Raje. One can become easily, very easily liberated by simply chanting the holy name of Krishna. No taxes, no GSTs, nothing. Very simple process, but very, very sublime to go back home, back to Godhead. So that one, and also he says that Krite Adhyayato Vishnum, and all these very, very most important verses at the very end of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is again reiterating the importance of the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, and also taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, which are the torch bearers in this age of Kali. We have to take complete shelter, because Srimad Bhagavatam is second, the second verse of the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, it is said, Dharma Projahita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam Vedyam Vastavam Atravastu Shivadam Tapat Rayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimva Parerishwaraha Sadhya Hrudi Avarudhya Tetra Kritibihi Shushrusibis Tatchanat. What is the Srimad Bhagavatam? Reality distinguished from illusion. Reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries of material existence. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadev in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. Where is the need of any other scripture? If one submissively and attentively reads Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. So that is what is Srimad Bhagavatam. In every page of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is personally present. We have to take shelter of this literature. Life, moment after moment, is tick, 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 tick going. The time passed, one moment lost cannot be purchased by millions of dollars. Chanakya Pandit says, even one moment lost cannot be purchased. So time and tide wait for no man. Krishna says, Kalosmi loke kshayakrit pravruddho lokan samahartam yah pravrutta vite pitvam na bhavishyanti sarve evastita pratyanikeshu yada. Time, I am the destroyer of everything. I come and crush everything in the form of time. Even money, like generally we earn money and we are so careful. Prahlad Maharaj says in his teachings that a person, he earns money and he's so attached to all this that he's very, very careful to see that a single farthing is not lost by mismanagement. A single farthing is not lost by mismanagement. So a person, why he is so much carefully guarding that hard earned money? Because he has worked so hard to amass that money and is very, very careful to spend a single farthing so that it is not mismanaged. So how much more we should be careful about the time factor, because money, how much ever carefully we guard, we have to leave everything and go. That is not that great a loss. But a moment lost without Krishna consciousness is the greatest loss. Even in Srimad, in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami tells eight symptoms of Bhava Bhakti. In that, one of them he says, Avyartha Kalatvam. A devotee is very, very cautious, very, very careful. He is very thoughtful. How my time is being spent. Very important. Time factor. Lord Kapila begins this chapter saying that as a mass of clouds does not know the powerful influence of the wind, a person engaged in material consciousness does not know the powerful strength of the time factor by which he is being carried. Very, very interesting. So thank you all very, very much for patiently listening. If you have any questions, I can answer. Otherwise, Aniruddha Prabhu is here. Can answer. Yeah, this Krishna, the question is death an, or what is that? Is death a painful for practicing devotee? What is his death like? So this question is asked again, I'm reading. Is death a painful for practicing devotee? What is his death like? So again, practicing devotee means, again, what stages they are in, that is also has to be considered. But still Krishna, Arjuna, in the 8th chapter of 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna also asks about this, about how the death for the death. Then Krishna tells to Arjuna that for you, it's not the same like, you know, you for you, it's not the same like materialistic people like that. So for the devotee, definitely Krishna will take care, because it is said that Neha Bikrama Nashosti Pratyavayo Navidyate Svalpam Apyasya Dharmasya. So for the devotee also, the pain, again it depends, like if we compare with Prabhupada was in so exalted consciousness, he had transcended that death also. For him, that pain, even he was completely out of body conscious, he was completely situated in his soul platform. For him, it was not scary. So the devotee, for the practicing devotee, of course, because he has been chanting Krishna's holy names, Krishna is not like, you know, sometimes people ask, like somebody is in a coma stage at the time of death. So he has done devotional service all his life, but at the time of death he is in coma. But the Lord is not like a stone-hearted. Krishna is very, very merciful. He is always observing what our activities are. So he will give accordingly. So for a practicing devotee, death is also like, it is, at least he has got knowledge. What is the differentiating factor between a materialist and a devotee? A devotee has got knowledge. That knowledge is the discriminating factor between an ordinary person and a devotee. And a devotee also, in the 15th chapter, the Krishna tells about this transmigration of the soul. How a devotee, a person sees, like, you know, as the air carries aromas, he carries different conceptions from one body to another. Then this person who is, so in the transmigration of the soul, he says that a devotee who has got knowledge, he knows that how a soul passes from one body to another, but a other people, they do not know, and then they really lament for it. So Prabhu, if you could answer, give more light on this question. Is death a painful for a practicing devotee? What is his death like? This mic can be passed on. Yeah, the answer is yes. Like, yeah, it is.
And we're not the body, but still at the same time, our philosophy is a ginger beer, a painted duck. So we're not the body, but at the same time, we also have to accept our corrupted karma, the immediate karma that we have with this body, and that means some pain.
It is definitely pains like baggage. So it is definitely painful. Like I told, like, you know, 40,000 scorpions biting simultaneously. Very, very painful. That is why Rishabhadev says that one should not become a mother, father, teacher or guru unless they deliver their dependence. It's a very responsible position to become a father, mother, teacher, guru, unless you should see that the dependents, they don't enter into the womb of the mother again. So that is the actual responsibility. But up to certain age, we can train the children, we can guide the children, but afterwards, everybody has minute degree of independence. We cannot interfere the how they exercise. We can only tell, guide them, but after that, it is their own karma, like Prabhu said. Everybody is carrying their baggage of karma from one body to another. Like the subtle body, so much baggage we carry from subtle body, so many desires. And the 31st chapter, Lord Kapila begins, Karmana Daiva Netrena. According to our desires, the desires we create in our subtle body at the time of our death, the tailor-made body is designed for us to enjoy that the sufferings or enjoyments according to our desires we create. Our desires create our next body, actually. That is why desiring, we have to be very, very careful what we are desiring. Because that desiring is what we get in our next life. So the consciousness that we create, the cumulative thoughts of our once life will flash at that last moment of our life. So that is why the more we always think of Krishna, still there is no guarantee. One cannot be very proud. Oh, all my life I have chanted Krishna's name. At the time of death, I am definitely going to remember Krishna. No, you need Krishna's mercy. Every step you need Krishna's mercy. If Krishna's mercy is not there, he says, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mattah smritir jnanam apohanamscha. I give the knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. So if Krishna's mercy is not there, a blade of grass cannot move. Even Brahma, the creator, although everything was ready to create, but he did not know how to put them, he asked for the mercy. He prayed, please give your mercy. Even the creator himself was so humble, he understood what his position was. He prayed to the Lord to please give mercy so that give me intelligence. He prayed. He didn't know where he appeared from. Suddenly he came on lotus flower and everything, nothing. He was so bewildered. At that time he wanted to ask how to create. He didn't know anything. Then he did severe penance. Krishna says that he likes this penances and austerities very, very much. We can please Krishna by this. He did great austerities. And the Lord came and gave him hint, like, you know, tapa, tapa, like that. So he got clue, like, you know, austerities, no? So we had to do austerity. So he was bewildered at that time. Then the Lord came and gave this clue, that tapa, tapa, like that. Then he did great austerities and then got the intelligence to put all the sarga and visarga. Krishna is the primary creator, sarga. Then Brahma himself says that everybody thinks that I am the creator. Actually, I am not. I am only the secondary creator. What has already been created by the Lord, I am putting them together and doing that. So, what has already been created, I am putting them together. That's all. But I am not the original creator. So when Brahma himself is taking so humble position, what to speak of us? So like that, very, very interesting. Thank you all very, very much for patiently listening. Hare Krishna.